You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Punt Podcast, in association with the FWA.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape flash? It's unbelievable.
Mercy.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One in 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Right, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. They're odds against. Love it, love it, love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes, listen on Audio Boom, or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Hello, everyone. A very warm welcome along to the latest edition of The Punt Podcast here with William Hill as we get set for another Premier League weekend. We've got two Maccas on the podcast this week with Derek McGovern about to join us, and we'll hear from the Executive Secretary of the FWA, Paul McCarthy, later on the podcast as we reflect on the Champions League. Andy Excel, William Hill's Andy Excel, has passed a late fitness test to join us on the podcast as well, and we'll get the best bets in at the Football League with Messrs Farris, Pushlowski and Ross a little bit later on, and Alex Dunn will give us a bet in Europe as well. The Executive Secretary of the FWA to join us later on, the Executive Secretary of the Mo Salah Appreciation Society on the line right now. It's a warm welcome. Good morning to Derek McGovern.
Good morning, good morning. I'm opening my mailbag and it's full of letters saying, Del, you were right, Salah is rubbish. You were right all along, so thank you. My genius has finally been recognised.
That water bottle took a little bit of a pasting on Tuesday night, didn't it, Derek? He was clearly relieved because he'd given away the goal for the equaliser, and then Roberto Firmino saved his bacon to a certain extent. And I saw that gif, that 2 second clip that made it look like he was annoyed that he wasn't on there for the winner. But that doesn't tell the full tale. There's nothing up with Salah apart from he's not playing particularly well at the moment.
Well, I'm wondering why everybody is so quick to accept that explanation. To me, it looked like a man who was gutted that Liverpool had won while he wasn't on the pitch. Seriously, I can't understand why everyone's been so charitable to him. I thought it was an absolute disgrace what he did.
I can tell you're a journalist, Derek. Just all spin there, all spin.
Well, no, people are spinning the opposite way. If any other player had done that, this team has just got a last-minute winner in a Champions League match against potential winners, and he's carrying on like that? You know, why are people being charitable to him?
Yeah, I don't know. I think the clip just before that, he throws his arms up in relief and then he slams the water bottle to the ground. I think he's more angry with his own performance than Liverpool getting the winner. That was my personal view on things, but obviously you've taken a different slant, and obviously you're ready to kick Mo Salah when he's down as well, Derek. We know about that. We've heard that on the podcast for the last couple of months. Anyway, we'll talk more about that game in due course. Andy Excel joins us on the podcast as well. Andy, thankfully, the back all better now, and you're ready and raring to go.
Yeah, we're on the road to recovery. I wonder what would happen if we kept the camera on Derek all the time.
Well, not now. I'm sitting here almost naked.
We didn't need that imagery before this preview, Derek.
That's really very shocking.
Let's get stuck in then, chaps. We'll start with Fulham versus Watford, Saturday 12:30. The kickoff for this one. Fulham in the betting at 29-20. The draw is in the market at 12-5. Watford are 9-5. Enhanced odds, lots of them as usual on the William Hill website and on the app. If you fancy Alexander Mitrovic to score and Fulham to win, it was 13-5. That's been enhanced to 3-1. If you think Watford are going to score in both halves, that was 11-4. That's been enhanced to 100-30. And that might not be a bad bet when you consider that Fulham have conceded at least twice in each of their last 9 Premier League matches, which is incredible. And this looks, to me, Andy, to be a game that seemingly is guaranteed goals.
Yeah, it does look that way. Watford have been picking off weaker opposition and then basically came up against a better team last week. And, you know, I think they just are playing with confidence. So I think they'll probably, if I was picking one of the teams to back this week, it would be them in this game. But yeah, there probably will be goals. Fulham aren't great defensively and they're still learning the Premier League, which I might come back to later when we're talking naps. But I think Watford will probably win this. And like you say, scoring both halves, that might not be the worst thing you've seen.
That is available at 100-30. Deservedly beaten last weekend, I thought, Derek, by Manchester United Watford, even though David De Gea had to make a decent save to consign Watford to their first loss this season. I spoke about it on last week's podcast. Watford's home form is brilliant. They're not that good away from home. They won their last away Premier League game, but that was after a run of 12 without a win away from Vicarage Road. They'd lost 11 of those as well. I'm not sure there's that much between these two sides, Derek, and I think there's the 8-point gap at the moment. I wouldn't expect it to be any bigger come the end of the season.
It's funny you should say that, because I would actually fancy Fulham to finish above Watford this season. I did at the start of the season, and even now with that gap, I still think they will do. It's a real head-scratcher of a fixture, this one. You mentioned that Fulham, Watford's home form is good, but they played five games so far. They played four at home in the league. I'm not quite sure why that's happened. They've got three away games to come now, all against London opposition. I think Arsenal and Tottenham are in the League Cup are still to come. They lost last week to Man United, so I'm just wondering how long it will be before Watford sack the manager now, Javi Garcia. You never seem to know Watford owners what they want in a manager, apart from another one, it seems. They've done nothing wrong before that game. I can understand why Andy's saying if there's going to be a likely winner here, it might be them. But I think Watford, there's a lot more to come from Fulham than there is from Watford. I've watched Fulham a couple of times, and I like what I see more than what I see from Watford. Watford have surprised us, but they will come back to the pack. Fulham will rise. What worries me is that Fulham, as you say, they've conceded two every game this season. Burnley scored two against them. Brighton have scored two against them. Palace have scored two against them. You'd imagine Watford would score against them. It's why I hate odd compilers, by the way. Both teams have scored in this match, look absolutely nailed on, and then I saw the price 8-13. Don't think there's a shorter price in the Premier League for that market. I'm looking at this fixture from every which way, and I really don't know how it's going to end. All I would say is that the special that Andy picked out, Watford to score in both halves, might not be the worst bet in the world. That said, I wouldn't necessarily think Fulham are going to lose. Maybe Fulham to win with both teams to score would be the way to play. But it is one of the most head-scratching fixtures of the season, this one.
Fulham to win and both teams to score is that same price as well, 100-30. I definitely have a glance at over 3.5 goals in the game. That's available at 7-4 for over 3.5 in the match. I love it, Derek, when you get a fixture like this, because I can feel that exasperation. It comes straight down the telephone line to me here in the studio.
Yeah, I know. I was going everywhere, around the houses there, wasn't I? I don't know. I looked at it. You know, sometimes you look at a fixture in the Premier League and you're right. You know right away. Yeah, this looks good, this. And you swayed a little bit by prices. But this one, I've looked at everything and I just can't pick a winner.
OK, let's move on to Brighton versus Spurs. Brighton 17-5 to win the game. The draw 27-10. Spurs in the betting at 78-100. What's all that about, Andy? Come on. Not none of this new age punting here. We want a proper price on the website, not 78-100.
No, this is, we've got to be accurate, you know. We're all about accuracy. You might get poachers like Derek trying to pick us off.
Not sure that price is aimed at Mr. McGovern necessarily. 78-100 Spurs in this game. Enhancements on the website as well. Harry Kane to have two shots on target, over two shots on target, was 7-2. That's been enhanced to 4-1. Glenn Murray, who's in fine form at the moment, for him to score and Brighton to win, was 11-2. That's been enhanced to 6-1. He's got 4 in his last 5 in the Premier League, and he's got 3-2 at the Amex as well, Glenn Murray, so that could be an interesting bet. And Derek, if ever there was a time to meet Spurs in the Premier League, this is it. They've lost their last three. They were abject midweek against Inter as well. Lack of investment in the squad in the lead-up to the new season and lack of fitness from some of the players has been costly for Spurs in the early part of the season. Those last two performances as well, Derek, it's not just the fact they've been beaten. The performances have been pretty disastrous, I've thought.
Well, it's the last three performances, isn't it? You know, the Inter Milan one in midweek, he said. Liverpool last week, they were shockingly bad. And I followed the one at Watford when they were, you know, atrocious. Even when they won 3-0 against Man United, the manager was going mad about that, how they played. So something is seriously wrong there. I've even noticed a rival bookie was offering odds on Pochettino not to be manager this time next year, 2-1, I think it was. There's talk now, you know, talk that he might go, and certainly the press conference he gave this week spoke of a man under pressure. People keep telling him he's been at Spurs years now without winning the trophy, and that gets on your nerves after a while. I speak as someone who's gone 276 days without meaningful sex. So a special thanks to the guys on the trading desk at William Hill for that information, by the way. I've got to go for Brighton here because I just don't see how... Obviously, Spurs player for player on a better team. We know that. But how are they just suddenly going to find their form again after three performances? We could argue four performances as bad as they've turned in. And Brighton are no mugs on home soil. They've lost only one of their last nine Premier League home games. This is Brighton. They've only lost one of their last nine at home, won five of those, drew three. I mean, that's tremendous form on their own turf. And another little stat I noticed, after losing their first three Premier League home games against Big Six opposition by a massive aggregate score, they're unbeaten in four against them, won three and drew one. So they're not rolling over just cannon fodder. They're rolling over big teams as well on their own patch. So I've got to go for Brighton. I think they're good things.
17-5 Brighton. Games have been entertaining so far this season. They've come back from 2-0 down against Fulham and Southampton to rescue points. Interesting price on Brighton this weekend at 17-5. Would you expect, Andy, those accumulators that have been placed at 3 p.m. to be rolling on to Spurs, or do you reckon they'll be quite weak in the betting come game time on Saturday?
I think there's a sort of growing momentum against them, so I'm not sure they'll be one of the top picks this week. It's sort of getting overlooked that they were in front in that game in midweek until quite late. So, you know, it's not to forget that's a difficult place to go, and they were going to get a result there. So they just seem to be losing games by the odd goal at the moment. And, yeah, there are things that aren't quite right. The players aren't quite firing. Bit of post-World Cup blues for some of them. But, again, it's Tottenham against Brighton. So, a bit like the match last week where I sent in the note saying that Man United got too big against Watford.
Yeah.
Are you getting that way with Tottenham as well? I'm not sure we are. I'm not sure it's in that category. But it's another tricky one, like Derek was saying about the previous game. I really don't like Brighton that much, and I certainly don't like Tottenham, and that's just personal. I actually don't think there'll be many goals in this game. So a draw would possibly 0-0 or 1-1 would be where I was going.
Okay, the draw in the game is 27-10. If you fancy 0-0, that's 11-1. 1-1 is 11-2 in that game at the Amex. Let's catch a quick word with Alex Dunn on Europe, and then we'll move on to Sunday's games.
You can say what you want about Cristiano Ronaldo, but the man is seldom far from the spotlight. Having finally scored for Juventus, he then went and got himself sent off against Valencia in the Champions League in midweek. But Juve have made a flying start to the season, and they play what will be the bottom side come the end of the season in Serie A in the form of Frosinone on Sunday. And I'm going to centre my bets around Cristiano Ronaldo. For him to score two or more, or for him to score first, are priced up at roughly the same price. 23-10 for him to score first, 12-5 for him to score two or more. By the way, Juve to be the only team to score in this game is 8-11 at a shorter price. That has to be backed. For me, rather than going with the two or more, I'm going to say that Juve will win this just sensibly, maybe a 2-0, perhaps a 3-0. For that reason, Cristiano Ronaldo to score first at 23-10 is the Euro nap this week.
OK, let's get stuck into Sunday's matches now then. West Ham versus Chelsea first at 1:30 kickoff. West Ham 24-5 to win this game. The draw 100-30. Chelsea 52-100, which equates to round about 1-2 to win this match. I think we got a glimpse of Manuel Pellegrini's vision last week in that win at Goodison. Everton made it easy for them, I thought, Andy, but it was a pretty dynamic performance. Marko Arnautovic was on another level. Andrei Yarmolenko is going to be pretty dangerous cutting inside onto that left foot throughout this season. And Felipe Anderson, I think, is a particularly a gifted technician. I like the look. I know West Ham started the season appallingly, but I like the look of that performance last week. I thought it was a good win, comprehensive win for West Ham, and there could be more to come. It might not be that easy for Chelsea, this one.
No, it's interesting. West Ham are one of the interesting teams this season. I heard James Collins, one of their former defenders, saying on the radio the other day that he's got concerns that they've got too many foreign players who are not up for a fight if they get in a fight, and if they're not putting the effort in, the West Ham fans will get on their back. Now, that was all before that game, where they basically have beaten an Everton team that were greatly weakened and are still struggling with injuries going into this week.
That's such a little Englander view, isn't it, as well, I think?
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a cop-out to say the foreign players don't want to roll their sleeves up. I think that's nonsense most of the time.
Well, that's the point. There's an awful lot of potential there. There's an awful lot of quality. But will it come out? And, I mean, the manager's got a good record of bringing it out. So West Ham are a new team essentially this season. We're still trying to figure them out. What are we getting each week? And I think it could vary from week to week. Now, when they're up against a big team, you might see it, and you know. But when they're not, and if they're not getting the results, do the players start thinking, could I get a move somewhere else? That's really what I'm talking. It's not their aptitude to the English game. It's whether they're committed to the club. So that's jury's still out on that one. But this is a game against Chelsea where I know I've been negative on Chelsea all the time, but I've got to start turning on them, I think. they really are putting in the results, and I can only see them winning this game at this stage of the season. But I can't do it with any confidence because I'm still figuring West Ham out.
If you're looking for a goal scorer bet as well here, Olivier Giroud could be of interest. He's 11-10 to score any time. He loves playing against West Ham. He's got he's been directly involved in 9 in his last 10 Premier League games against West Ham. He scored 6 in that spell. And he appears to have developed a real understanding, Derek, with Eden Hazard. Hazard's been the outstanding player in the Premier League this season, for my money. I think you'd agree with that, Derek, as well.
Oh, he's just a sensational player. Probably the most outstanding for a good few years, apart from that one season when he didn't try a leg under Mourinho. I love watching him. Just everything a footballer should be, Eden Hazard. I mean, Chelsea have been getting results, 5 wins from 5, but I don't think they've been putting in the performances, Hazard apart. They've developed a habit of winning games when not playing particularly well, whereas West Ham have developed a habit of not playing particularly well, apart from that game against Everton last week when you're right, Arnautovic was different class. And I've seen that from him a few times, isolated instances. I remember at Anfield last season, I thought, what a player this guy is. Until that game, I mean, Pellegrini, the busy summer transfer window he had, seemed not to have worked. I was thinking that no man had shelled out so much money for so little reward since me on my last 20 pulling expeditions. But it all came right for him last week. All the foreigners, all the new signings played well.
We've heard more about your sex life on this podcast, Derek, these opening 17
right,
or 18 minutes.
Right. It's not as if there's anything to talk about that.
You sat there naked talking about your sex life. I'm concerned.
When you said 52 to 100, I thought you were talking about Derek's catchment area.
I go on Club 1830 holidays, 1830 when they were born. I keep getting drawn back to West Ham at 5-1 or 5-1, or as it should be, instead of this ridiculous 24-5. Send it in, Andy, please. I've got to go for West Ham here. I know that Chelsea got 5 from 5. But you look at the performances beneath those results. They're not outstanding. They've had a decent run of fixtures. I've got a feeling it suddenly gets harder for them. I know you might think that's daft when you see how far down the league West Ham are, but you know things are going to turn for West Ham. And I talked myself out of backing them last week against Everton. I'm not going to do that this time around. I think 5-1 or 24-5. is just too big.
Yeah, I think this will be a good game. I really do. Over 3.5 goals in this one is 11-8. I think there'll be plenty of action in that game at the London Stadium on Sunday. And we finished the Premier League weekend with Arsenal versus Everton, 47-100 for Arsenal. The draw 18-5, Everton, and the betting at 5-1. We will have enhancements on the William Hill website, and this is hashtag your odds as well. So if there's a bet that you like that's not up on the website or the app, tweet using the hashtag your odds to at William Hill, and the traders will price the market up. Arsenal and both teams to score is as short as you would imagine here, 8-5 in the betting. That bet has landed in Arsenal's three previous Premier League games. I think, Derek, it's difficult to understate how suspect these two teams are defensively. Everton just gave West Ham so much space at Goodison last weekend, and it was embarrassing at times, frankly. And that's something that's plagued Marco Silva in his managerial career as well. And Arsenal don't look good at the back either. Again, there's a few games this weekend where I've thought over 3.5 could land here, and this is another one. You'd expect it to be pretty open, this match.
Yeah, well, there was plenty of goals last season between them. I think Arsenal put 10 past Everton in two games last season, 5-1 and 5-2, I think it was. Everton was shocking last week. Not going forward. I thought he played some tidy football going forward without ever really threatening that much. But at the back, they were an absolute joke. I mean, it just made it so easy to score against them. But after watching it, how fanatical an Everton fan would you have to be to make a 400-mile round trip to Arsenal? I mean, Jesus. A better man would back two things in this match, Dave. An Arsenal victory and Everton to get pasted, basically. And he would do it from home. Because I can't see Arsenal not scoring the bag full here. I know they're weak at the back, but I think they'll have the ball all the time. I can't see Everton getting, you know, laying a glove on them. And Arsenal will win this game. I've got absolutely no doubt. And minus two goals I'm going for at 14-5. Because they will score a few against Everton. You know, I'm not the biggest Arsenal fan. But when they meet teams like this who are easy to score against, the front men are going to run riot. I think this is going to be a landslide for Arsenal.
Are they going to have another draw again, Andy? Because their record's ridiculous. None of Arsenal's last 21 league games have ended all square. They've won 11 and lost 10 of those. But this is a fixture that Arsenal historically have an incredible record in.
Oh, yeah. Everton in the Premier League is the one that we've got the best record, we being Arsenal. It's a bit like, you know, seeing them come to town is like a betting shop manager seeing Derek walk through the door. You know, I can't see anything different. I'm like, Derek, I'm really bullish about Arsenal this week. I can't see them losing. But they're susceptible to leaking the odd goal, hence the Arsenal on both teams to score. Yeah. I think your over 3.5 isn't a bad shout. And I just basically hate to say it, but I'm going to agree with everything Derek just said about this game. I think Arsenal will win comfortably.
Oh, there you go. It's nice to be in agreement sometimes on this podcast. Let's finish with the naps then, chaps. Andy, you're returning to the podcast, so I'll give you first bite here.
Loath as I am to go odds on, I think this might be one of the best prices of the season. Man United at home to Wolves. What's going on there? I just can't agree with my colleagues on this one.
6-10.
United finished second in the Premier League last year. Wolves are a promoted team. Very hyped, but they're a promoted team. They're basically being priced at United are a bigger price to beat Wolves than they were to beat Leicester on the first day of the season. I can't have it. Man United for me.
6-10 Manchester United. Confident selection for Mandy Excel. Derek?
Well, you know what? I disagree entirely with that. I think Wolves have got a chance. I looked at this fixture last week and I thought, I can't wait for that to see the prices on that. And yet, you're right. Wolves are shorter than I thought they would be. I thought they'd be getting like 6 or 7 to 1 for them. So 9-2 is a bit of a kick in the teeth for me. But I think they'll give United a lot of trouble, Wolves. They're a team to keep on the right side of. Unfortunately, it looks as though the bookies got a handle on them already, which is a bit of a sickener. My nap, I'm going to go for Arsenal to bat at Everton. Arsenal -2. 14-5, I think I said it was. Honestly, I'm going to write my bet out on that now. And I'm going to demand payment right now. That's how much of a cert it is.
Okay, I'm going with Fulham. I think they're the best bet this weekend. I think they're Probably going to be end up being a marginally better team than Watford this season, with home field advantage, obviously, this weekend. Not much to choose between the two sides as far as the betting is concerned. I think they're a good bet, Fulham, this weekend. So 29-20, Fulham to beat Watford for me. So Manchester United at 6-10, Arsenal minus 2 at 14-5, and Fulham 29-20 pays just under 14-1 here with William Hill. Andy, thank you for your company.
Pleasure.
Derek, you're going to stay with us. We'll have the FWA Executive Secretary, Paul McCarthy, with us in a few moments' time. We're going to talk Champions League football, so do join us for that in just a moment.
Check out the all-new Bet Boosts on your sports Accas. You can boost trebles and bigger with a maximum stake of £20. You get one every day on mobile or the new WilliamHill.com site. Just click the boost button on your bet slip.
Now, as promised, it's a warm welcome to the FWA's Executive Secretary, Paul McCarthy, joins us on the line. First of all, good morning to you, Paul.
Morning, Dave. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. Unfortunately, we start this with more than a touch of sadness here, because Ralph Ellis, who was a decorated journalist for over 30 years, sadly passed away on Saturday, and he was on the National Committee with the FWA, Paul, and I had the pleasure of speaking to him a couple of times on this podcast, but you knew him better than most, Paul.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've known Ralph since mid to late 80s, I guess, when we first met. Hugely sad news from the weekend. He was a living light, a driving force, just on the National Committee. But in the Midlands as well, where although he was born in East London and was a diehard West Ham fan, he spent most of his career working in the Midlands and the West Country. And he was absolutely one of the most warm, conscientious, hardworking men, journalists that I've ever come across. His integrity was undoubted, his honesty. He was just a very straightforward, straight-talking journalist who, I said in a tribute that I wrote for the FWA website, that you know, very few times you come across somebody who nobody has a bad word against. Mm. And Ralph was certainly one of those, and he will be sorely missed. And we've, in his honour, linked up with Prostate Cancer UK. To name them as our chosen charity for the season. It was something that was very close to Ralph's heart once he got the news of the dreadful illness that he eventually passed away from. He raised £15,000 in June on a from Amsterdam, which I have to say certainly defied his doctors and. Was an immense act of bravery and courage from him. He and his two sons and his brother-in-law go to Amsterdam, 185 miles. And, you know, it's something of which Ralph could be very proud and we could be very proud of Ralph.
Yeah, our deepest condolences to Ralph's family. Sadly passed away on Saturday. Ralph Ellis, more than 30 years sports journalist, working with the Sunday Mirror, the Daily Mail and the Daily Star. Paul, we got you on to talk about the Champions League as well. Saw the first set of fixtures midweek, and the betting has changed considerably after those first set of games as well. Barcelona and Manchester City, 5-1 joint favourites now to win the Champions League. Bayern Munich 13-2, Juventus and Liverpool both 7-1, PSG 8-1, and it's bigger the rest. Let's start with the slightly underwhelming performance from Manchester City. That was last night. They were beaten 2-1 by Lyon, and they were abysmal in the first half. That was maybe the worst 45 minutes since Pep Guardiola took charge, Paul.
Yeah, I thought they were very poor. They were a shadow of the team that that we've seen so far this season and certainly last season. It was back to a little bit of the old days for Manchester City. It doesn't feel like it's a club that's in love with the Champions League, despite the fact that, you know, it has to be a target. If you're going to be judged as one of the great teams, then the Champions League, you have to lift and triumph in. But, you know, the Etihad was pretty far from full. They still boot the Champions League anthem, which I think, you know, while I can understand it, it feels like a little bit old hat these days. And the atmosphere off the pitch seemed to be reflected on it. Now, a lot of the papers this morning, read Martin Samuel in particular in the Daily Mail this morning, debating whether that was because Pep was in the stands and Mikel Arteta was pulling the strings from the sideline. I think there's certainly something in that. I think we've seen from the behind-the-scenes documentary the impact that Pep has in the dressing room before, at half-time, that kind of inspirational bundle of manic energy. I just wonder whether City had lost that last night and it was reflected in the way they played.
Yeah, and Derek, Paul talked about the Etihad being well, half empty last night. You contrast that with Anfield on a big European evening. I know the players set the tone, but there's a complete difference there in terms of the energy inside the stadiums.
Yeah, and in local radio in the Northwest, you're hearing the run-up to a Champions League match, trying to advertise tickets for City, you know, a great night at the Etihad this weekend. You'd never hear that sort of a buzz, because people know it's on and they will just go anyway. And it's sad that, to me, I always think it's such a bum note that actually having to, you know, go to those lengths to flog tickets for a Champions League tie when the favourites are playing. They were appalling on Wednesday night. And if it was down to the fact that Pep Guardiola was in the stands and it was Mikel Arteta taking them, well, that says a lot more about the players than it says about Arteta. It's like schoolboys misbehaving while a teacher goes out the classroom for 10 minutes. It's an absolutely disgraceful performance, and I can't believe that they're still favourites, because we know the stat, no team has ever won the Champions League after losing their first group game, etc. I mean, City are still going to qualify because they were in the easiest group to get out of since the Drifters. But it's, you know, on that performance, you couldn't back them. The same price as Barcelona. Who would you back out of those two?
Barcelona were superb midweek. Lionel Messi getting yet another Champions League hat-trick as well. Liverpool 7-1, Derek, for the Champions League. Can you see them making another run?
Yeah, I can. Yeah. I still don't think they've hit the heights yet, and yet their record is unblemished. They're a kind of team, because of the Anfield factor. If matches were played on neutral ground, I think there'd be three or four teams. Every match on neutral ground, but the three or four teams, you'd be better than them. But the Anfield factor makes them a real force. So, yeah, you couldn't rule them out. 7-1 is a little bit mean, though.
Spurs were beaten midweek by Inter Milan 2-1. They conceded twice late on to lose that game at home. Mauricio Pochettino, is there any pressure on him at the moment, Paul, or is it too early to suggest that? Because
not at all. I mean, I think he's helped revitalise that club. Listen, if I was Daniel Levy, I'd never sack Mauricio Pochettino, because, you know, the money has been pumped into the new stadium and it's going to be fantastic if and when they ever get in there. And Mauricio Pochettino has gone along with it and he's not rocked the boat. He's actually backed Daniel Levy's policy of not buying anybody in the summer because they didn't think that they could improve on what they had. Now, I understand that. I understand that mantra from Daniel Levy. But also, I think what you need is to have a little bit of freshness about it. And Harry Kane looks like he's running on empty. Dele Alli was injured, obviously. And there's a few of them that look as if they're probably about 10% lower than the peak last season. Now they'll get over this and they'll get into it because they've got too much quality. But Mauricio Pochettino being under any pressure? Absolutely not. I would, as I say, if I was a chairman, I'd have him every single day of the week, because he doesn't. You know, there have been managers, and there are managers currently in the Premier League who would have been throwing their toys out of the pram. I'm looking towards the northeast and the team that plays in black and white stripes. And the manager would be throwing his toys out of the pram. Listen, Benitez throws his toys out of the pram even when everything's hunky-dory. So, there's no comparison. I think Pochettino is in a very strong position as manager of Spurs. He has so much credit and goodwill in the bank, so no, not under any pressure at all.
I love it when you're on the podcast, Paul, because there's always an occasion when you'll try and wind Derek up about his man crush, Rafa Benitez. And I quite enjoy that. And Manchester United, by the way, Derek, as well, the only side we've not spoken about domestically that were in Champions League action, they beat Young Boys away from home 3-0. Paul Pogba has to be one of the, if not the most infuriating footballer, because when he turns it on, he can single-handedly destroy European opposition, and he can do the same in the Premier League. He just struts his stuff for 5 minutes and then tunes out for 20. But when he's on, he's just absolutely magnificent. If there wasn't someone in his ear all the time, and he just went out there and played football, he would be the best player in the world within a couple of years, I'm sure.
Yeah, he's got that about him. He's just, even when he was going through that bad time, you could just see he was a class above everything around. You know, he's making silly mistakes. He just looks like a thoroughbred. And yeah, if he's on, if you actually keep him on form, they'll be a threat to anyone. They're not going to win the Champions League. They ain't good enough for that, obviously. But yeah, you know, they'll go a long way if they keep him right.
Yeah, 3-0 they won. They're 25-1, by the way, and Manchester United to win the Champions League. Any inkling, Paul, about who you think might win the Champions League? Has this first set of fixtures told you anything or nothing?
Well, it tells us that Juventus can win games even if Cristiano cries and gets sulky and gets sent off. So that's, you know, against tough opposition, you know, a tough place to go, they win, and they won quite convincingly even without Ronaldo for an hour of the match. I think Barcelona, obviously, that doesn't, you don't need the brains of Lloyd George to work that one out. And I think, do you know what, I don't think Liverpool will win the title this year, although I think it will be a hell of a lot closer than it was last year. But I really have a gut feeling for them in the Champions League. I just think that, you know, we've not seen the best of Mo Salah yet. You know, all the silliness about, oh, we didn't celebrate the goal. Well, you know, he was probably incredibly frustrated that he'd put that result under threat by giving the ball away.
Yeah.
So I can understand that. If he kicks into gear, which he undoubtedly will, I think Liverpool are a stronger team than they were last year. I think they've got a better goalkeeper, obviously, and I think there's a defence which is growing in stature. What did you say they were? 7-1.
7-1, yeah.
I think that if you lumped on now, you know, you would get some kind of return on that, because I've had a little a poke at Dell about his, as you say, he called his man love for Benitez, but for Liverpool, I think I've got nothing but love and admiration at the moment. The way they play in that frenzy, and you saw that on Tuesday night, and it gets them results in Europe, because I think European teams like a lot of English teams in the Premier League can't live with them when they play in those frenzied 15 to 20 minute spells.
Yeah, I agree. 7-1 Liverpool to win the Champions. Not only does he love Rafa Benitez, though, Paul, he hates Mo Salah. He thinks Mo Salah's useless.
Well, Paul, honestly.
Well, non-celebration is chucking a water bottle down. Had Daniel Sturridge been captured doing that, he'd have had nothing but stick. I just can't understand such a charitable reaction for Salah doing it. You might say he was frustrated at being crap and giving away the goal. But that frustration should have died. You know, he'd been taken off 10 minutes before that goal went in. I'm sorry, yeah. I can't have it. I thought it was a disgraceful display by him.
I have to say, I've met him a few times last season, and I was incredibly impressed with him as a bloke, not just as a player. So I am going to give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt on that one, Del.
Paul, thank you for your company on this podcast. It's been a pleasure, as it always is. Thank you, Derek.
Pleasure. Cheers, Paul.
Cheers, guys.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in so far. We're going to finish this podcast with a look at the Football League in the company of Pete Farris, Gav Pushlowski and Al Ross.
Hi, my name's Pete Farris, and in the Championship this week, I think there is one very, very good bet indeed. There's many, in fact. A couple of the outright prices could well provide you with some interest, but I'm going back to the Overs Goals project, and I'm taking over 2.5 in the Sheffield United Preston North End game. Now, admittedly, Sheffield United's games started so high on goals, but the last two have had just one, of course, the loss at Bristol City, and the midweek 0-0 draw with Birmingham, where truthfully goals never looked massively plausible. But they're taking on a side in Preston whose matches have been high on goals recently. The 2-2 draw against, of course, Bolton, the 3-2 loss to Reading, the 3-0 loss midweek to Leeds. Preston do not quite look right at the moment, but they're a side who are conceding a lot of goals as well. 2 at Norwich, 2 at Derby, 3 at Leeds, and Sheffield United's home games, barring, of course, the midweek game, have been high on goals so far with 3, 3 and 5. But ultimately, over 2.5 at even money at Bramall Lane is my nap in the Championship this week. Let's find out what Gav Puchalowski's nap is in League One.
My nap selection this weekend is Scunthorpe at 7-4 at home to Shrewsbury, who are 13-8. Both teams are odds against to win this game. I understand why. Scunthorpe are 15th and Shrewsbury are 17th. Only 3 points difference between these two sides. But the key for me is Stuart McCall and how he's got this Scunthorpe United side scoring plenty of goals. He started with a 1-1 draw at Accrington. They led in that one. They also led 2-0 at home to Rochdale but drew 3-3. And they led 2-0 away at Wimbledon last weekend before winning the game by 3-2. So they're not exactly watertight at the back, Scunthorpe, and even when they're leading 2-0, they're not exactly safe for all 3 points. And bearing in mind that Shrewsbury away from home, their form is quite poor at the moment, but both teams to score has landed in 4 of their last 5 games on the travels. So both teams to score between Scunthorpe and Shrewsbury looks really nice at evens. There's going to be goals in this one as well, bearing in mind that Scunthorpe recently 3-2, 3-3, 2-2 at home to Barnsley, a 5-0 home defeat to Fleetwood, pre-Stuart McCall. Therefore, there's going to be goals in this one, and over 2.5 goals at 6-5 seems absolutely glorious. So you could combine the lot. Scunthorpe to win and both teams to score 24-5. Scunthorpe to win and over 2.5 goals as well. But I think Scunthorpe, quite simply, have too much firepower for Shrewsbury, and if they continue to score twos and threes against Shrewsbury as they have other sides, Scunthorpe for me will win this game. So they're my nap at 7-4. Looking at League Two, here's Al Ross.
Finding consistency in outright League Two at the moment is pretty tricky. There is one truth that holds though, and that is that Notts County are dangerous at both ends of the pitch. They started the season with a goalless draw, weirdly, but since then they haven't gone under 2.5 goals once in League Two. They've scored 10 in their 7 league games since their opener, that's not bad. They've let in 24. Last 5 league games, 3-2, 3-1, 3-1, 5-1, 3-3. Over 2.5 goals this weekend is a short 4-6, and to be worthwhile going further in, you do need similar opponents, and thankfully Northampton are such a side. They are averaging over 2.5 goals in a game this season. There have been 10 goals in their last 3 league home games. Both teams to score has landed in all of those. So here's a rarely played market, but one that should land. Both teams to score and over 2.5 goals between Northampton and Notts County is surprisingly even money. That was a lot of fun. I do hope you've enjoyed the podcast, folks. Make sure you check out all William Hill's podcasts at audioboom.com and the betting available at sports.williamhill.com ahead of a fascinating Premier League weekend. And don't forget, if you use the hashtag YourOdds and tweet at William Hill, if there's a bet that's not on the website that you want priced up, the traders will do that for you. Thank you to Paul McCarthy, the FWA's executive secretary, for his thoughts on the Champions League. Derek McGovern and Andy Excel, wonderful as usual, and Pete Farries, Gav Puchalowski and Al Ross with their best bets in the Football League, and not to mention Alex Dunn, who gave us his best bet in Europe as well. Thank you everyone that's tuned in, and good luck with your bets on the football here at William Hill this weekend.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.